Vidyanya.
Shivam.
Intoxicated.
Pashyam.
Not finding.
Vyanadat.
Roared.
Brisham.
Loudly.
Translation. On not finding Indra and the other demigods who had previously been intoxicated with power, the chief of the Daityas, seeing that they had all vanished before his might, roared loudly. Shlokar report. I'll read the next text. Tato Nirita Kritisham Bhambiram Bhima Nirs Vanam Vijagahi Mahasatvo Vardhim Mata Iva Dibaha. After returning from the heavenly kingdoms, a mighty demon who was like an elephant in wrath, for the sake of sport, dived into the deep ocean, which was roaring terribly. So this deep ocean appears to be the Garbhodak Ocean, the deepest ocean in our universe. It's 2 billion miles deep. Other oceans are just a few miles deep, at least in our experience on our planet. We don't have any oceans deeper than a few miles, which is nothing more than just a, it's like having a drop of water on an apple or something. These oceans are not very deep. And just as a drop of water adheres, because it's so small, it adheres to like an orange, even if it's upside down. So our oceans also adhere to the globe that they're attached to, because they're not very deep. But the Garbhodak Ocean is very deep, and it has to be, it sits at the bottom of the universe. It doesn't sit on the sides or at the top. It has to be at the bottom because it's so deep. Continuing in the next text, Tasmin Pravishe Vurunasya Sainikya Yadogana Sanadhiya Sasadvasaha Ahanyamana Apitasya Varchasa Pradarshita Durataram Pradur Truhu. On his entering the ocean, the aquatic animals who formed the host of Varuna were stricken with fear and ran away. Thus Hiranyaksha Raksha showed his splendor without dealing a blow. Performed by his divine grace, materialistic demons sometimes appear to be very powerful and are seen to establish their supremacy throughout the world. Here also it appears that Hiranyaksha, by his demoniac strength, actually established his supremacy throughout the universe, and the demigods were afraid of his uncommon power. Not only were the demigods in space afraid of the demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, but also were the aquatic animals within the sea. Now this is the impartiality of the Lord. He gives everyone a chance to lord it over the material energy according to their capacity. And even the demons, although they're against the established order of things, still they're given a chance to rise up and conquer the demigods. In a sense, the Lord is allowing a free kind of free competition. Capitalistic society doesn't impose that the demigods must always be in charge and the demons must always suffer. He let the demons also have a chance to succeed, to defeat the others, to compete. But you can't say that God is partial. He's samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dvaishyasti na priyam vijanti tumamrityam aite teshu javyam. He gives everyone a chance without partiality. He's equal to everyone. And the demons, they can sometimes even conquer the demigods. But they can never conquer Krishna himself. And ultimately, they become defeated by the Lord when he feels that the time is right. Continuing, next text. Savarsha Pugana Udado Mahabalash Charan Maho Meen Jvasarain Sun Ritan Muhu Morvya Vijab Ne Gadaya Vibhar Varim Asevi Divans Tata Purim Prachajasa. Moving about in the ocean for many, many years, the mighty Hiranyaksha smote the gigantic wind-tossed waves again and again with his iron mace and reached Vibhavari, the capital of Varuna. Varuna is supposed to be the predominating deity of the waters, and his capital, which is known as Vibhavari, is within the water kingdom. Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Purusha. This means that the nighttime, that means Vibhavari is in the west, because the sun sets in the west on the ocean. And sun rises in the east. There are four cardinal cities. These four cardinal cities are situated on the Manasotra mountain. And the sun, he passes those of you who saw the Vedic cosmos, you saw that the sun goes over, when the sun goes over one of those cities, not very high above either, at that place it's noontime. And then the other cities, one is Yamakoti, one is the other two cities. When the sun goes over one of them, the one opposite, it's midnight. And the one that's just in front, then it's sunrise. And the one just behind, it's sunset. So in this way, the indication is that the sun's rays don't go all the way across. They don't reach the other side. That means the sun's rays are limited. They only go a certain distance. Some might have thought that the reason that the sun's rays don't reach the opposite cardinal city is because of Meru, but Meru is too small to block out the rays. Meru is very large, but it's not large enough to block out the rays of the sun as it's traveling around for that. So the reason that the rays don't reach her is because that the sun only has his rays go so far. Someone may have a difficult time accepting this. How can the sun make his rays stop at a certain point? But in a theater, we have one man who's seated in front of the the light box.
And
just by moving his fingers, he can make lights appear and disappear anywhere in the theater if he likes. Sometimes he can make spotlights or red lights, different lights. And the sun also has similar powers. Anywhere in the universe, he can make his rays appear or disappear as he likes. Hiranyaksha defeated Varuna. Varuna is very powerful, demigod. But Varuna could not stand up to Hiranyaksha. Continuing. Text 27. Tatra palabhyasura lokapalakam yado ganana rishabham prajetasam smayam pralabdhum pranipatya nichavaj jagadame dehi adiraja sam yugam. Divavari is the home of Varuna, lord of the aquatic creatures and guardian over the lower regions of the universe, where the demons generally reside. There, Hiranyaksha fell at Varuna's feet like a low-born man, and to make fun of him, he said with a smile, "Give me battle, O Supreme Lord." Report. The demoniac person always challenges others and tries to occupy others' property by force. Here, these symptoms are fully displayed by Hiranyaksha, who begged war from a person who had no desire to fight. Hiranyaksha continued, "You are the guardian of an entire sphere and a ruler of wide fame, having crushed the might of arrogant and conceited warriors and having conquered all the Daityas and Danavas in the world. You once performed a Raja Asuya sacrifice to the Lord." Text 29. Sa evam utsikta madena vidvasa vidvisha dudam palabdo bhagavan apampatihi rosham samutam shamayam sayadhya vyavocha angopushamam gatavayam. Thus mocked by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the worshipful Lord of the Waters waxed angry, but by dint of his reason, he managed to curb the anger that had sprung up in him. And he replied, "O dear one, we have now desisted from warfare, having grown too old for combat." Purport. As we see, warmongering materialists always create fighting without reason. There was no reason for Hiranyaksha to go and challenge Varuna. But the demons don't need good reasons. Their intentions are that they want to conquer. They want to humiliate others. They want to establish themselves as being the greatest. Therefore, they like to conquer others. And we see also in the history of this world, there's a tendency when someone gets a little power, he wants to conquer others and establish himself. He wants to get more power. But eventually, such demoniac tendencies are cut down. And then they're humiliated. Text 30. Pashami nanyam purushat puratana yaksam yuge tvam rana marga kovidam aradha ishyati asurarsha bhetitam manasvino yam grinate bhavadrusha. You are so skilled in war that I do not see anyone else but the most ancient person, Lord Vishnu, who can give satisfaction in the battle to you. Therefore, O chief of the Asuras, approach him, who even heroes like you mention with praise. Purport. aggressive materialistic warriors are actually punished by the Supreme Lord for their policy of unnecessarily disturbing world peace. Therefore, Varuna advised Hiranyaksha that the right course to satisfy his fighting spirit would be to seek to fight with mission. We can see from this that the wars are caused by the demons, they're not caused by devotees. Because devotees have no interest, or the demigods, devotees are also demigods. Demigods are called devotees. Demigods have no interest in usurping others' property. They're satisfied with what the Lord has given them. But the demons are not. Just like when the demons and the demigods decided to churn the ocean of milk together with the idea of extracting some wonderful gifts from that. The demigods took they decided, both of them, to use Vasuki as the trimming rod for the Mandara mountain. So Vasuki was so long that he could, and strong that he could wrap himself around the mountain. Still, there was room on both sides for churning the mountain. So first the demigods took the head side, and the asuras took the tail side. But then the asuras thought, why should the demigods get the head? We should get the head. We're better than the demigods. So they requested, let us have the head. So that was arranged. The demigods gave them the head on their side. But then they got all the fiery fumes or fiery flames from the Vasuki. And then they realized that would have been better if they had just kept what they had. But this is the nature of the demons. They're never satisfied with what they have. They always want to try to get more. And they're always trying to conquer others. Now, Varuna is advising him, why don't you try to fight with Vishnu? He's capable of giving you a good fight. Nobody else is capable. That's the nature of the Lord, is that he's greater than everyone else, and he cannot be defeated. Next verse. Tam viram arad abhipadya vismayaha shai shase vira shai subhir vrtaha yastvad vidanam asatam pashantaye rupani date sat angra hichaya. Varuna continued, on reaching him, you will be rid of your pride at once and will lie down on the field of battle surrounded by dogs for eternal sleep. It is in order to exterminate wicked fellows like you and to show his grace to the virtuous that he assumes various incarnations like Varaha. Report. Asuras do not know that their bodies consist of the five elements of material nature, and that when they fall, they become objects of pastimes for dogs and vultures. Varuna advised Hiranyaksha to meet Vishnu in his born incarnation so that his hankering for aggressive war would be satisfied and his powerful body would be vanquished. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Victory of Hiranyaksha over All the Directions of the Universe. The idea of being objects of the pastimes for dogs and vultures means that when they're killed, they're dogs and vultures eat their bodies, so they become places of pastimes for the dogs and the vultures. And although Varuna does not feel himself capable to fight with Hiranyaksha, he is giving some stern words of prediction that soon you will meet your match and you will be killed. And that's what the demons, some of these demons, that's what they want, because there's no one who can fight with them. Banasura was the same way. He had, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, he achieved 1,000 arms. And his arms were so powerful that he used to go to the mountains and destroy them. Then he'd go to the seashore and make the oceans overflood the neighboring cities. And then he was still not satisfied. So he went to Lord Shiva himself and said, "Lord Shiva, please give me a fight. There's nobody who's powerful enough to fight with him." And Shiva said, "You rascal. I'm not going to fight with you, but Vishnu will fight with you and he'll defeat you." And then we got to know that Vishnu cannot be defeated. But the demons are so arrogant, still they think they can defeat Vishnu. They don't think that there's anyone that can defeat them. Therefore, they're willing to fight with Vishnu. And they're even enthusiastic about it. As we see in the reaction. Any questions?
Is Varuna's abode, is it also in this Karparaga ocean?
Pardon?
Is Varuna there residing in this Karparaga ocean also?
Oh, because he approached him? Well, he's the Lord of Waters, huh? Varuna is in charge of all the oceans. Well, he may also spend some time there, yeah? As we have been discussing, the demigods sometimes have many homes, many different residence places.
Maharaj, when Hiranyaksha took Mother Earth to Karparaksai ocean, he took only this ball, he took the whole Pumandala.
Well, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he took the whole Pumandala, but then there's a picture just taking Earth, so.
If he would have took the whole Pumandala, how can he get it? Because it's the size, I understand it's the size of the universe.
No, it's a little bit less. That's explained in the purport, that there's a little bit of room around, so it could go down.
Maharaj, one more question about this cosmology. Remains a little bit unclear that there are these other varshas. So where are they situated? That are they like other planets, or are they in some other dimension that we cannot perceive?
The other varshas of Jambudri? Some can be some. We may not be able. We can't even go off our little planet. But others can go, just like great kings, Priyavrata and others, Manu, they have dominion over all the varshas. But our kings, our leaders here, they have a hard time. They can't even leave this earth planet.
Guru Maharaj, about those four cardinal cities, are they also like I'm just trying to get a picture. Are they also moving with the chandelier, or are they localized?
Well, they're on Earth. Manasota Mountain is Earth, yes. It's on Earth.
Oh, and it's like also limiting the size of the universe. Are they like limiting the size of the different sides of the universe? Like east, west, north, south?
Are they what?
Limiting, that beyond them there's nothing. Nothing, you know.
There's things beyond them. There's Kanchanabhumi, there's Golden Land, and then there's Loka Mountain.
Yeah,
and then after Loka Mountain, there's Aloka Varsha, where there's no people. Not a very desirable place. Although some sages go there to perform yogis sometimes.
So they are fixed.
Yeah, in their place. But just like some of the demigods, they have places on Manasota Mountain, and they also have another residence on top of Meru Mountain. So, they have more than one.
Well, demigods have been made in charge of various things like Varna for water. Why not other part, like they are the son of the same rishi, demigods and
why aren't the demons put in
charge? Demons, yeah.
Because they're irresponsible.
Some of them are
mischievous.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve to be in charge of anything because they don't work under the direction of the Lord. They work against the Lord. They're outlaws. Why not put the mafia in governor? No, you don't make him governor because if you make him governor, he'll just keep all the money and cheese and he'll introduce drug trafficking and all these things. You just can't trust him. The demons can't be trusted. But sometimes they conquer over the lawful leaders. And then the Lord has to personally come. Because no one else can defeat them.
Maharaj, in this your field, Kurmat, the turtle who is following the universe, seemed pretty big, but still Hiranyaksha didn't notice him when he went down.
Didn't notice him?
Yeah, but in the film it seems it's pretty big.
How do you know he didn't notice him?
Maybe he did.
Can't be sure. May not have been to the depiction of Kurma, may not have been to scale. Not everything was to scale. Some of the things were to scale, some of them are.
That's a practical thing, like when one is swimming in like natural waters, rivers, sea, ocean, like should we give like some special respect to Varuna Deva? I mean, same like if you go to some holy waters, should we do some rituals when we go to natural lakes, like bow down and step with our right foot and
Krishna tells the gopis that because they had disrespected Varuna when they took bath in the river, therefore they had to bow down to Varuna to get free from their offense. Because he was playing games with them. then he made them come out without their clothes on. So, at least when we go to holy rivers, we pay our obeisances, put some drops on our head. You can do that in the ocean also. The ocean is very great. Offer respects to Dave. You can do that. Of course, offering respects to Krishna, a devotee, he's always offering respects to Krishna. So, Krishna is above Varuna. Varuna is his servant. So, if you offer respects to Krishna, then Varuna will also be pleased. Therefore, we don't worship demigods. In fact, the Acharyas indicate that if someone worships demigods, he can't get pure devotional service. Because he's not, it means he's respecting the demigods, but he's not respecting Vishnu enough. Better to give full respect to Krishna or Vishnu, then one can get pure devotional service. And by offering all respects to Vishnu, then the demigods are included. As we see from Govardhan Lila, Krishna told them, don't worry about Indra. And they didn't worry about Indra, and he tried to attack them, but Krishna protected them. Demigods are also devotees, and they appreciate those who are simply serving Krishna. There's no need to worship the demigods separately. Worshipping the demigods separately is for the karmis, those who cannot understand Krishna. They're advised to worship demigods. Because at least by worshipping demigods, eventually they'll come in contact with Vishnu and they'll become confident of their trust in the Vedic system will be improved. Because they'll worship a demigod, they'll ask for something, they'll get it, and then they'll become confident that this works. But then, when they're advised in the scriptures that you should worship Vishnu, they'll do that also.
Maharaj, about these different logas in Puma Mandala, they seem like very huge compared to our earth. They got these discs which are in the between of different oceans. They are like very big, like piles, or how you say it, they are like round things. So they are all people in those worlds, they are all know the whole island. It's a very big island.
Yeah, there are people everywhere.
They can understand the whole thing. It's like huge thing compared to our planet.
Yeah, we just have a little small place. What's the difficulty?
It seems so big, you know, to how they go around in that island. It's so big island.
It's big to us. It's like little ants down the bottom of the basement of a big skyscraper. If they think that there's 100 floors above theirs, it's, for them it's inconceivable. How could there be 100 floors? We can only go up, we're only this high. And 100 stories means it would be, you know, 100 million of us on top of each other. How could it be so high? In other words, we're not as big as we think we are. We're not as great. That's why it's so humorous when the scientists, they talk about what's going on in the universe, and what's going on other planets. They don't know anything. They're completely ignorant. But to impress the other little ant, they tell him, Well, we can tell you what's going on the other planets, but they don't know anything. They've never been there. They've never been out of their well.
Maharaj, why is it that some of the like very great scientists, like this Niels Bohr, who was developing this quantum theory, so why did they have a lot of interest in the Vedas?
Why did they?
Yes.
Because they're a little intelligent. That's where the knowledge comes from. Anybody with a little intelligence will go to the Vedas.
Like this modern advanced theories, like this quantum theory, do they have some parallel in the Vedas or some junctions where they...
Whatever they get that's true comes from the Vedas. They're getting a little teeny bit. Not only in the field of science, in any field, religion. It's like they say God is great. So that comes from the Vedic knowledge. Yam Brahma, Varunindra. He's great. But they don't know how great. So whatever they get, it comes from the Vedas. If it's true. Philosophy, mathematics, science, religion, sociology, military science, Ayurveda, it's all coming from the Vedas. But it doesn't all come back. By the time they get it, it may not be pure. It may have become diluted or contaminated. Therefore, rather than spend our time learning something that may be contaminated or diluted, better to go directly and get it from the Vedas. That's why Vedic education is superior.
Nowadays, can a Vedic astrologer, can he
predict
what is
happening? He's expert. Science is still there. But you can't be fully confident these days. Therefore, save your money.
Maras, I heard from one lecture that there's many reports that people went to the North Pole and they saw there's some very huge pebbles, like many meters, like from other dimensions.
There's all kinds of reports, yeah, about that going. Disappearing and different things. Maybe. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Vishwanath Dhamma Virgo Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.